The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the religious authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord, the good news. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. We all know this story, don't we? Doubting Thomas. The gospel text we read every second Sunday in Easter. This resurrection appearance of Jesus, one of a handful depicted in the Gospel of John, has a way of sticking in our brains. Maybe it's the repetition, the simple fact that we read it once a year, every year. Maybe it's that Caravaggio painting or the many other sort of lurid paintings and images of Thomas inspecting Jesus' wounds that tickle our imaginations. Maybe it's the way Jesus seems to be talking about us when he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Maybe it's because of the way Thomas has been cast in the teachings that have accompanied this text throughout the ages. Yeah, that seems a little closer, doesn't it? Maybe this story of Thomas, of doubting Thomas, sticks in our brains because of what it seems to do or say about just how our human brains work. I mean, it isn't as though Thomas is asking for anything extreme. He isn't asking for anything that the rest of the crew didn't get to see or experienced already, right? He isn't looking for a little extra something, is he? He isn't asking for some new proof that hasn't already been provided. He just wants to see whatever it is that everybody else already got to see. Matter of fact, now that I think about it, doubting Thomas doesn't really fit the guy so well, does it? More like FOMO Thomas. That's fear of missing out. F-O-M-O. FOMO, if you didn't already know. FOMO Thomas. And you know what's funny about all of it? You know what's particularly puzzling about all those paintings and stained glass windows of Thomas poking his fingers in the wounds of Christ? It doesn't actually happen. Those images that have influenced how we see this text in our mind's eye, they're based on someone else's interpretation, some other brain's flight of fancy. Here's what the text says. A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." You see, even though Thomas himself claims that he will not believe that Jesus is risen from the dead unless he sees it with his own eyes and puts his finger in the mark of the nails and his hand in Jesus' side, when Jesus explicitly gives him the chance to do precisely what he has asked for, Thomas simply proclaims, "My Lord and my God." This text, this story that we read on the second Sunday of Easter each and every year has a way of sinking into our brains that isn't always helpful. You see, we human beings have a natural inclination towards binary thinking. Our first inclination almost always is to understand things that we encounter in an either-or frame of mind, like on or off, right or wrong. It's a helpful tool, this way of seeing things. At its best, this binary way of thinking has helped to shield us from harm. This thing is either good or bad, safe or dangerous, ouchy or snuggly, right? But at its worst, it has led us to fall very easily for the kinds of rhetoric that paint some ideas or feelings as innately bad, and others as being naturally good. And this, as history proves again and again, is what inevitably leads to painting people in the same way. This binary way of thinking, this either-or view of the world, is what leads us to understand that if a person doesn't look like me, act like me, think like me, practice their faith like me, live like me, vote like me, and I know that I'm one of the good ones, well, then that person who is different from me, that other, must be, has to be, is definitely the opposite of me. Because that is just how it works. There's no way that they can be one of the good ones, too. That's the truly insidious thing about the evil machinery of hatred, especially when it is employed systematically. It feeds on our fear and appeals directly to our need to see the world in an either-or frame of mind. And so, we see Thomas and his doubt as the opposite of faith. And naturally, when we encounter events in our lives that challenge our trust in God, our belief in Jesus Christ, when we feel doubt, it is inevitable, it is incredibly hard for us not to judge ourselves harshly. It is near impossible for us to resist the urge to tailspin into terrified visions of God's judgment, or to hear the harsh and chastising words of parents and teachers and pastors echoing all around us. It becomes an almost unbearable feat for us to see that doubt is not the opposite of faith, but a part of the process. It becomes incomprehensible to us that faith isn't something that we either have or lack, but something that we do. A practice that we actively live out from day to day. The way that this story of Thomas sticks in our brains, the way that it plays with how our brains are wired, the way that it triggers this either-or response in us can be harmful. I believe that it has been. And yet, in this story, there is an offer of healing, too. If we can, just for a second, resist that urge to either or this story, if we can do the heavy lifting of turning off that binary processing unit in our brains for just a moment, we can understand this story as being not just about what Thomas fails to do, but about what Jesus does. Knowing that Thomas missed out on what the others experienced. Knowing that Thomas yearned to have the same experience as his peers, poor old FOMO Thomas. Jesus comes to Thomas in a way that Thomas needs. And in doing so, teaches Thomas that the ministry he has been called to, the ministry we have all been called to, requires empathy and compassion. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Echoing the words of the Sermon on the Mount, that profound expression of God's working in the world that runs contrary to our understanding of how the world works, the way God blesses those who do not bear the world's markers of success and worthiness, Jesus tells Thomas and us to keep God's priorities over our own. This teaching, this call that Jesus puts before Thomas and the others gathered in that dark, locked room, in that moment of fear and of doubt, this reminder of how God works in the world, in our very lives, this teaching, it's right there in the beginning of our story today. Maybe we didn't quite catch that bit. Maybe we were a little too caught up in that story of Thomas and his faith process. Maybe we need to hear it again. Peace be with you. Knowing that we are human, Jesus does us the favor of saying it again. Peace be with you. And even a third time when Thomas is there, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit into his disciples, offers them peace, and sends them out to offer grace and mercy and compassion and relief to the suffering in the world. Jesus teaches us that in order to bring that grace and that mercy, we must first find those who are suffering and meet them in their need. Peace be with you, Jesus says. Peace be with you, Jesus says again. Peace be with you, Jesus says even a third time. But don't let that binary fool you again, folks. Don't think of peace as just the opposite of war or violence. To quote the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., true peace is not merely the absence of some negative force. It is the presence of some positive force. Peace is not merely the absence of tension. It is the presence of justice. In a little while, we will all get up gladly and share a sign of Christ's peace with one another. So, today, as we do that, as we share the peace of the risen Christ with one another, let us also remember that it is more than just a greeting, more than just something we offer blankly or without cause, more than something we either have or do not have. Let us share Christ's peace with great compassion for one another, knowing that that peace is offered not just as a kindness, but as relief for our suffering. Let us remember that Christ's peace is offered to our doubts and our fears, to our pain and to our sorrow. Let us offer Christ's peace to one another with open and compassionate hearts. And let us receive it by echoing the cries of Thomas, faithful Thomas, and proclaim what we have seen and felt ourselves, my Lord and my God. Amen.